Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss. plushcare.com/weightloss.
This is the Unapologetically Black Podcast.
Understanding that your blackness is part of your greatness.
Blackness just comes from being me, and that's it.
Men are allowed to do whatever the fuck they want to do. They can be cheaters, they can be liars, but women are expected to be righteous.
So if you're someone who, in a concert, you're going to say the N-word, in my opinion, at home you're going to say it as well. In friendship, there's someone who deposits and there's someone who withdraws. You don't want to be the friend that's keep depositing and the person that keeps withdrawing. Yeah.
Poor people don't have time for depression.
I'm so tired.
Banning abortions doesn't actually reduce abortion.
But actually, if my mental health is not okay, I can't help you in any capacity.
I mean, my entire life I've lived under the gaze of my parents.
Fuck that shit.
Hello. Hello. Ladies and gentle faces, welcome to the Dig Deep podcast. Episode. Welcome to the Dig Deep episode. This is the episode where myself and Leanne ask each other a series of questions to dig deep into our sisterhood. And we're taking you on that journey with us. So buckle up, sit back, and enjoy.
Can Hello, I Leanne. Just say hi, Roshan, that I've never seen you with a pink scrunchie in your hair.
Really?
Yeah, never.
Oh my God.
It's so feminine. I don't know.
I love, is my jumper dirty? Wow, that's very rude.
I didn't even see that.
I love scrunchies. Let me see if I can find this picture for you really quickly. Not very good for people listening. Here, look. Can you see this? This is a picture.
Oh, my goodness.
For people listening, I'm showing you? Leanne a picture of... No, this is my mom.
Is that your mom?
Oh yeah, I'm showing Leanne a picture of my mom when she was 17, holding me as a baby. But she's got a giant scrunchie in her hair, and her hair's in a top knot. And I saw that picture maybe 2 years ago. And since then, I've just become obsessed with scrunchies. So I have loads. Like, there's a black one underneath here. I have other pink ones. For Christmas, I bought my sister, like, a pack of 50 scrunchies. You've probably seen me with a scrunchie, but not as big as this.
Yeah.
And my hair will be in a bun. Whenever my hair is in a low bun at the back, I put a scrunchie on just to make it have a bit of pizzazz.
It's super cute, and that picture of your mom is absolutely adorable.
Thank you, my love. I put it up the other day, and everyone was like, you look like your mom. And I'm like, I've never been told this before in my life.
You do. Never. You do that. I thought it was you. I thought it was you holding your baby sister. You know what I mean?
Don't gas her. She'll be gassed to look like me. Ooh.
You're so funny. And she looks so young and just like...
She actually looks too young to have a child, and she was. Okay, guys, 17 years old, don't do that. Mm-hmm.
I mean, everybody makes their choices in life, right?
Let me tell you about one of mine, okay? So you know how I have two names, yeah? Obviously, I'm Roshan on the podcast. But you know, like, if I'm out, my name is Charlie.
Yes.
Like, my mom has literally sent me a bouquet of flowers that say, to Charlie, I'm so proud of you, love, mom. Like, Charlie is my other name. It's not a secret. This is a real thing. My mom will tell you that. So, met her babes, okay? And I told him my name was Charlie. Because that's my name.
Okay. Yeah.
Talking. Dating. And then I had to go to the hospital, yeah? And he was bringing me to the hospital. And on the way there, I was like, oh my gosh, I haven't told him yet that my government name is Roshan. And my heart was beating like, because I was like, this is not a lie, but now it seems like a lie.
Indeed, so it does.
I'm literally, we're pulling into the car park and I'm like, do I tell him now or do we wait? So if that was you in that moment, would you have told him then or would you have waited?
I'd have told him. I'd have been like, by the way, in case they call me Roshan, that's my other name.
Let me tell you what happened.
That's my government name.
So we go in and there's like, you get stopped at the door, had to ask all these questions. And I'm like, yeah. Ding, 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 ding. And I was trying to like see, is he like paying preying attention to see what's going on? Then we get into the actual reception where we give the name and I'm like, yeah, giving my names. I'm even spelling it out. Romeo Oscar Sierra, Hotel Alpha November. He didn't say nothing. I said, cool. He's just in his world, clearly. So we're sitting down and the lady goes, Roshan Roberts? And I tap him and I'm like, that's us. We go to the appointment, the first triage, we go to the second triage. And then we come out, yeah, and I'm like out of it. Like, I'm really like down and out. I had an infection really bad. And I'm just laying down on him in the, what do you call it? The waiting area.
Okay.
And then he goes, so who's Roshan? And I'm like, it's me. And he's like, so who's Charlie? And I'm like, it's me. I said, I'm Jamaican. Don't you know we have nicknames? And he was like, okay. And I was like, because we don't have each other on socials, you would know that I'm not lying. Because if I had you on socials, okay, my socials is my government name. So had either of us asked each other that, you would have had it. Like, I'm not hiding anything. Like, this is literally my name. And he was just like, okay.
There are many other questions I have, like, why were you going to the hospital with someone who you don't have on socials? Like, who was this person?
This is a very good thing to unpack with you, okay? So, because on the podcast we talk openly, we're very transparent, we talk about some quite deep topics, yeah? Like, we've never really had a conversation on the podcast where at the end we've been like, let's take that out. That's literally never happened.
That's true. So, that's never happened.
Because of that, and also because we've got older episodes, I don't even remember what we said like 3 years ago. Because of that, if I'm dating someone, I don't actually want them to have access to the podcast because I feel like, one, I don't know what you're listening to. And two, I feel like you're getting to know me at a speed that is dramatically different to what I'm getting to know you at. So because of that, I don't like giving them my socials because on my socials, you'll then see in my bio, Dope Black Woman. And then from Dope Black Woman, you're going to find the Unapologetically Black podcast. So that's why if I'm dating, people don't have my socials because I just feel like it just makes me feel extremely vulnerable. And I was talking to my mom about it when this happened. I was telling my mom the story and she was like, just look at it as another listener. At the end of the day, your podcast gets listened to by so many people and he is just another one of them. And he was like, also, he may not even have any business being in women's business anyway. But that's why he didn't have my social media. And the funny thing is, to prove the point about men being in women's business, when we went to the next room now and I'm getting my blood test, why could I hear my voice? So I'm like to him.
Immediately.
I'm literally like, my hands all tense while I'm trying to get this the blood out, yeah? And I'm like, who is that? That sounds like me. And he's just laughing. And it's a video of me just ranting, I think, about paprika. And I'm like, out of all things to see me talking about, you're seeing me waffle about absolute nonsense. And then when we got out, I heard him listening to me again. And I'm like, is this another video? I was like, please stop. This is why he didn't have my socials. Like, what on earth? So yeah, that's why he didn't have it. But that's that on things that we do.
Can I tell you a funny story?
Yeah, please.
So before we dig deep, Mm-hmm. I was going out on a date with this guy, very similar to what you just expressed. And we went to the country together. So we did like a two and a half hour drive to St. Elizabeth, stayed there for two nights and then came back. And on the way back, I kept falling asleep. And I think the end of the date or the end of the weekend was not going well. Like, it was horrible, in fact. He had gotten a flat tire. He didn't have any cash on him. Neither did I, because I rarely walk with cash, which is something that you should never do in Jamaica, by the way. Always have cash on you. Very important. So he was annoyed about that. We had to change the tire. Then we're driving back. I was falling asleep, which apparently annoyed him. So he pulled the car over and was just like, let's wake you up. And for some reason, we go into the bushes and he pulls out his gun. And
he's gone.
Like, I know. But he was like, here, shoot it. And I was like, And this is like maybe in our dating experience, the second time he's given me his gun. So I do, I shoot it or whatever. And it wakes me up because obviously it's like, A, something I'm uncomfortable with, and B, it's a loud noise.
I'm so sorry. Like, you know, you could have just walked around the car two times. The fresh air would have woke you up. A gun, shooting.
I don't know why that was his first thought. But then I was still falling asleep. I was tired and I was probably high, to be honest. But then I kind of like in the corner of my ear, I hear something and it's the podcast. And this is like the years old ago podcast. So, and he's then listening to my
ranting
about like the Sideman conversation. And I was like, this is awkward because I'm in the car. We still have another hour to go and we're listening to my voice. Like, and he's like, well, clearly this is the only thing that will wake you up, listening to the sound of your own voice. But it actually did. I was like, this is actually a really good episode.
So what did I say for tips on keeping your sad man? No, but that's, yes, crazy.
Very strange.
But I feel like the podcast thing is cringe. Sorry, one more story. Yeah, did I tell you about when my dad discovered the podcast?
No.
So this is one of the early episodes, like proper early, and he's like, oh, let me listen. I said, okay, dad, go off. So I call him and I can hear my voice being played through the speakers of his big car, and then he goes to me, oh, I'm just listening to this episode. You shouldn't be so harsh on that guy, you know, give him another chance. And I'm like, what are you talking about? And there was a story where I had spoken about going to where I had spoken about having sex with a guy, and he came basically like straight away. And okay, my dad was like, you know, he might have been nervous, he might have been this. And I'm like, dad, I don't need you giving me reasons why this may or may not have happened. Also, I don't need you to be aware of what's going on in my sex life. So if you could have stopped listening to the podcast, please, okay? Because this is not what this is about. The podcast is not for my dad to listen to. Like, when we're on here talking, I don't know who I expect to be listening, but in my head, it's not dad. Okay.
Yeah.
If anything, it would be my mom, and my mom does not listen. So no. And that's that on that. But it's time for Dig Deep.
It is. Are you going first? Am I going first? What's the order that we're doing today?
I feel like I've just been speaking bare. So I'm going to ask you.
Okay.
If you could have something of mine, what would it be? Ooh. And why?
Your savings account. I'm just kidding.
She said, I'll rob you.
I don't even know what's in there.
I'll rob you, bitch. with my ex's gun. Wow.
No, let me answer the question seriously. If I could have something of yours, what would it be? Do you know what, actually? And this is not something that's out of reach, and I think it's not just specific to you. But when I was younger, I don't know if I told you this. I have told you this because we discussed it, that I always wanted to be a DJ.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, my bond with Barry is very much like intertwined with music and our love of music. And I think your job in many ways has facilitated a closeness to music, that you also love music. So I know that you're deep into it and everything. And I think actually, if I went down a different, slightly different career path, I would have been closer to something that I genuinely love as a hobby and not as a as a as a job. And so actually, yeah, maybe that, like, if I was younger, maybe I would do that a little bit more to facilitate my passion for music in a way that actually contributed to the space and the sector, which you've obviously done. So maybe that would be it, actually.
Mm-hmm. My career.
Yeah.
Okay. So lovely.
Just that part of it.
Okay,
without having to give up the career that I also have. Like, I do also love my career. And I don't know if we've talked about this on the pod, but we can't ever just do one thing. Like, there are so many different things that I want to do in life. And I'm often like I love to see what Leanne Ailey is doing now. I have no skill set for it. It's not my bag. But do I, you know, I see what she's doing and I'm like, damn, that's such a cool thing to be able to do what she's doing. You know, I see my other girlfriends doing TED Talks or TEDx Talks and I'm like, oh, such a cool thing. So it's not necessarily coveting what you have, but it's also being like, there are so many things that we want to do in life and it's nice to be able to see it flourish in somebody else. So yeah, I think that's the thing that has flourished in you that I would have wanted to flourish in myself as well.
That's cute.
Okay. When was the last time our relationship changed and what do you think that has led us to?
So I think we've kind of discussed before that, like, obviously since you've moved back to Jamaica more so permanently, it's changed the dynamic in the sense that we spend less like friendship time together.
Mm-hmm.
And ironically, this is probably the fifth time on the episode on the podcast where I've said, oh, and we say we're going to schedule in the call and then we don't do the call. And I was thinking about that just this week. And actually, when it says, what has it led us to? I don't know what it is for you, but for myself, I think that the fact that we haven't had that talk and we keep saying we're going to, but I still feel the same level of closeness,
mm-hmm.
I think it actually just reaffirms and reinforces how like deep our sisterhood really does run. And that's something that I thought about literally like maybe last week or this week.
And it's funny because I've been notoriously bad with keeping in touch with everybody since I've left, largely because like life and so much has been going on and I haven't even settled, much less to think about like how to maintain strong bonds with people. But I feel that way about my friendships in general. Like, my friendships were so strong before I left that like it's actually maybe it's a bit of a pause, but the love is still there, the bond is still there. Yeah, so I'm grateful for that, not excited about it. I'm grateful for that, and it's motivation to make sure that we do have that talk and we do schedule those talks separate and apart from work.
What do you think we could do less of?
Together or just in general?
Why don't you do both?
Okay. I think together as a couple of friends, we could... I don't know. I don't know that there's anything we could do less of. There's always stuff we could do more of, but I don't know that. Yeah. I don't know that there's something we need to like pull back on.
I feel like maybe if we asked this question a year ago, we would have answers. But I think actually we've streamlined a lot of stuff.
Yeah.
In terms of like us as a, like a working relationship, I think we was doing loads all the time.
Yeah.
And I feel like we literally cut everything back, which I actually found really uncomfortable. I think it might have been my idea, but I originally found it really, really uncomfortable. I found it uncomfortable because it made me kind of feel like, not a failure, because a failure is a bit extreme, but it felt like I was stepping into that realm. That's like how I internalized it for myself. But I think we've already done the less of, so I don't really think.
Yeah.
There's nothing I can think of what we could do less of.
Same. What could we each individually do less of? Beating ourselves up, engaging with toxic men, Yeah, those two things.
On the note of toxic men, this is, for a lot of people listening now, this is old news, yeah? But on TikTok a while ago, there was a video that went viral called Who the Fart Did I Marry? Did you watch it?
Mm-mm.
Have you seen it?
Is it like a 50 length?
Yeah.
I didn't watch it, but I heard like the cliff notes.
Okay, listen to me. My friend sent me that when she was on like video 10. And I was like, I don't have time to sit down and watch this woman talking her story. Let me tell you something. I watched that shit the other day on double speed and I finished it in less than 24 hours.
Good idea.
And that story is about a toxic man. And that story has traumatized me. Like, I've watched it and part of me is like, okay, cool. My eyes are open. But now they're like, my eyes are open and I'm on edge. I don't want to date nobody's son because everybody's son is like the Legion. And the guy in the book, in the story was called the Legion. It was so scary.
But here's the thing. And I say this to people all the time. I don't like to say men are trash. I really don't, because I don't believe in labeling an entire gender. But you guys make it really hard, bro. Like, even men that I love dearly, y'all are fucked up. Like, I'm just like, sometimes y'all are trash.
No, and the thing is, the day before I watched an ITV documentary called Football Fraudsters, yeah? Football Fraudstar. And it's about this guy, and he basically keeps reinventing himself. So at one point, he's a footballer. Then the next point, he's a pilot. And then the next point, he's a this. And he engages with different people, and basically he just keeps stealing their money and frauding them, yeah? And he's been doing this for years. Going to prison, coming out, changing his hairstyle, changing the way he dresses. This is a notorious thing, okay? And nothing called Tinder Swindler.
Tinder Swindler. Remember
and
that
what
story.
These stories teach me is that I need to either get married today so that I can watch these things in peace, or I need to stop watching these programs. Because honestly, when I'm watching them, I'm like, bro, Tinder Swindler had about 18 girls at the same time and was using all of those girls' monies to fund each other's lifestyle. Okay?
And his own.
Football Fraudstar was to talk in different languages. He would say one day, I'm American, and have an amazing American accent. The next day, be London. From London. The next day, have a French accent. I'm not being funny. Do you know how skilled you have to be to fake an American accent for an entire duration of a relationship and nobody notice?
Dude, but here's the thing that blows my mind. Yes, those are stories that are publicized, but I guarantee you, every single woman I know has a story that is similar to that. I know a girl who got married, really nice guy. He was like, I'm the first person in my family to go to... No, he didn't say that. Really nice guy, was loved by her parents. He worked a great 9-to-5, put on a suit every day, went to work, kissed his wife goodbye. She's also very well established. She went to work. Then his sister posts a video and says, so proud to be the first person to graduate from college. She's like, okay, that's weird. Because as far as I know, my husband graduated from XYZ University. She calls his workplace that she thinks is his workplace. There's no Bobby there. Let's call him Bobby.
They're married already at this point.
They're married several years. They're married for like 3-4 years at this point in time. Why is Bobby actually a postman that delivers mail every day? He got up every single day for multiple years, put on a suit, only to go to the post office to change into his postal worker uniform, deliver mail, put back on his suit, and then go home and make up an entire elaborate story every single day about what he did at work.
I'm so sorry. As you're talking, yeah, my chest is getting tighter, and that is one of my triggers for when my anxiety is peaking, okay? This is so scary. I'm so sorry. I know we've gone off topic from Dig Deep, but I'm sorry. We need to pause the pod for a bit, yeah? This is scary.
It's scary.
Do you understand? Because my thing is, cool, maybe at the beginning, because she's established and had a good job, he wanted to pretend to be someone he wasn't to get to her. I'm not agreeing with it, but I understand it. And sometimes, for me, when it comes to people telling lies, if the lie makes sense, like, I can see what led you to that. I'm not really as mad. But if it's like you're just lying and waffling about fuckery for no reason, it's like, you're actually tapped. So, like, cool. Maybe after the first year, you got two in deep in your lie, okay? Mm-hmm. On year two, why is the lie there? A postman's not even a bad job. You're actually still employed. What is going on? Like, I don't understand. What we need, guys, hello, hear me. If you're listening and this is you, or you have a relative in your family that moves crazy like this, let us know. They can come onto the podcast. It'll be a safe space. We need to unpack the mind of men like this. Or if you are a woman, because I know it's also women, or if you're a non-binary person and you also act like this, please let us get into your minds, because I need to understand. I don't get why you cannot tell the truth. After, like, I get the initial lie, cool, but why is it still going on? Why are you allowing someone to be doing in sickness and in health, and you're actually sick in your head already? Like, what on earth? These things are not okay. No. Let me tell you something, a little spoiler, yeah, from Mrs. Risa Tisa. They were together, and every morning she was on the phone. He was on the phone chatting to his brother every morning. He would even do this. Imagine I'm the guy, you're Risa. Yeah. He'd be like, yeah, fucking. This is not how he spoke, by the way. This is my version, yeah. He'd be like, yeah, fucking. Man, just chilling. Man's going to get ready for work now, 6 a.m. and that. Yeah, we always talk 6 a.m. So, the barbecue this week. It's a barbecue. Let me tell Risa. Risa, do you want to come to the barbecue?
Stop it.
And then you're going to respond.
Yeah. Yeah, babes, of course.
Yeah, so Risa's done. Yeah, she's gonna come to the barbecue. All right, then. All right, cool. Every day clockwork, 5 a.m. or 6 a.m. Every day clockwork, okay? At the end of the story, it is revealed that brother he's talking about has not spoken to him in about 5 years, okay? Wow. So that, and also the phone calls he was having every morning never existed. He was talking to himself. How sick do you have to be to actually have fake phone calls for 45 minutes? And also, you've actually made sure your phone doesn't ring.
But also, how is it that... I thought you were going to say he was on the phone with an ex-woman or...
That's what I thought, but it wasn't. And he did this all the time, by the way. He would always have phone calls continuously that were different people. The man lied and said that his grandma had died, yeah? His grandma had actually died like 15 years prior. He lied about so many different things. And even in the story, when she said that he lied about the grandma, there wasn't even context to it. Like, oh, he lied about the grandma because he went to, instead of going to the funeral, he went to link a gal. It was just he lied about the grandma. Like, as a person, an individual, how the hell do you bounce back from that? And this is why right now, I went from telling you about 8 podcasts ago, yeah, I'm enjoying dating, I'm loving it, I love the dating. And now I'm like, baby,
I can't leave me.
I don't want it. Because Leanne, I have created a life of peace. Let me experience a Risa Tisa. Let me experience anything like that. I promise you, it'll be called the Dope Black in Jail podcast. That's what it'll be called. Dope Black and in Jail. Yeah? That's what it'll be called.
I can't do it. I don't have it in me. Honestly, I don't.
Unapologetically Black.
When was our toughest moment together?
The scary thing about this question is I don't think we've had it yet.
It's yet to come.
Which means it's yet to come. Because I can't think of a tough moment that we've experienced. Tough. I guess, no. Because it says together. The only time I could think, and I think this is a reach, this is not something that... This is something that was tough. This was a tough experience for us together, but I don't think we spoke about it, so therefore I wouldn't use it as an answer. And it would probably be like COVID. Like, I feel like COVID impacted us both a lot. And I think maybe more so me was very like hyper vocal because of like maybe the lot of the what I was going through at the time. So maybe... Mm-hmm. There wasn't really space in our friendship at the time for you to talk about what you may have never been going through or like how your headspace was navigating COVID. But I would say that was probably the toughest moment that we went through. But I don't think it's fair to say we went through it together. together. Because I feel like if anything, the support was definitely one-sided during that period of time.
I got you. I can't think of anything either. We'll get through it.
It's on the way. Okay, next question. If you had to swap bodies with anyone, who would it be and why? And I want to know really why. Dig deep here, okay? Is it because of who they are? Is it because of their physical appearance? Is it because of their career? Who would you swap bodies with and why?
I feel like the answer will shift dependent on what aspect I'm. So there is someone that I can think of who aesthetically I would want to look like. There's someone I can think of career-wise who I would want to be. And I can't think of anybody personality-wise because...
Your personality is really lit.
Yeah. I'm me.
Okay, so do those ones.
So if I had to pick a career person, it would probably be Afua Hirsch.
Mm-hmm.
So Afua, if you're listening, you know, you're my person. Because I think she is, for me, she's an academic who is multifaceted. She's not afraid to talk about fashion. She talks about politics. She talks about Black culture in an articulate way, but she's very down to earth. Like, her content is digestible. She's written books. I'm an author, but an aspiring author of multiple books. So when I think about the trajectory I want my career to take, it's Afua Hirsch's. Like, that's the role model that I have in mind. So be my mentor, Afua. If you...
I'm begging, please.
And you know, I'm gonna email her. I'm gonna get her email and I'm gonna ask her to be my mentor. Why not? If you don't what closed mouths don't get fed, right?
Yep. And when she's a guest on the podcast by the end of the year, you guys will know why.
Body wise, there's so many people. Naomi Campbell springs to mind, like young Naomi Campbell, not now, although she still looks great now, but obviously I want the younger body. Is there anyone else I think of and I'm like, gosh, I would love to have her. Oh, Jodie Turner-Smith. Like, she is
stunning.
Like, when I think about her, I'm just like, why is this woman... And part of it is that she's also very talented, but like her body, her face, her skin, how bold she is with her fashion, like obsessed. So those are the two people that I would embody per career. So imagine Jodie Turner-Smith as Afua Hirsch, and that's me.
That's a dangerous combo.
I'm telling you. Wait, I'm curious to see what your answers would be.
Or if I could swap bodies with anyone, who would it be? If I could swap bodies with anyone, I feel like it's hard to answer it in terms of career because there's so many things I would love to do.
Mm-hmm.
I think the only one that makes sense would be like to be a singer.
Okay.
I don't think I'd want to be a singer as big as Beyonce. But then maybe it would be different because I wouldn't have social anxiety, so I could be like her. I would like to be like Jasmine Sullivan in terms of a career.
Okay.
I feel like Jasmine Sullivan's voice is undisputedly sensational. She's True. Got holy bar bangers. And she's also got classics that like people just know, like Bust Your Windows Out the Car. And it's a song that's so powerful that it just time capsules people back. Mm-hmm. So I think I'd love to have a career like her in terms of that. Because I love to fucking sing, okay? And I can't sing. And I come from a family of singers. And it's a really weird thing. Like, even earlier on, I was talking to my brother and I was singing. And he was like, can you just stop? And I'm like, but it's not fair because you're the singer and I can't
sing.
Yeah,
he's an artist. That's so true.
So it's like, it's just not very fair, okay? And then if I could think of someone's body, there's a girl on Instagram. I've actually got a friend, or a friend of a friend, my friend Aaliyah that you know, her best friend, Stephanie, her body's like, is like perfect. Like, I just, it's just a body that I would really love. But if for someone who can't see her body, I would say a body like this girl on Instagram.
I take a Megan Good body as well before she lost all the weight.
Maybe.
She looks a little bit emaciated now.
Yeah, so this is a girl on Instagram called Xtina Okeni. What's her actual name? Oh, her name's Christina. But her Instagram handle is like Xtina Okenla. And her body's just really nice. It's like slim but thick, but definitely slim, defined, toned.
Okay.
And that's like my perfect aesthetic, I think. Nice bum. I just want a bum. Okay. I just want a bum. I literally said to my trainer this week, I was like, look, stop training legs. Leg day needs to be glute day. I can train legs all the time. I want a bum. Every minute, your quads are so defined. I don't want, forget the defined quads, baby. I want the booty. Yeah? Because you know what I realized? Something I realized. This is girl math. This is gym math, yeah? If you've got a big bum and a big belly, you still have a big bum.
Still got a big but bum. But if you have
a flat bum and a big belly, you just got a big belly.
True. True.
So if I just focus on the big bum, whatever the belly's looking at doesn't even impact me because my body's big. And this is definitely for me. I just like round bums. I also like perky breasts. I don't have that, but I've got over that, okay? We've become one with the lower breast movement. But yeah.
Hilarious. I do agree about the big bum, though. Like, if you have a big bum, you're good. Doesn't matter. Nothing else matters.
Your belly's round. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter when your body's big. Gosh, can't wear certain outfits when my bum's not arched enough. It's annoying.
It's very annoying, believe me. Which is why I need to go back to the gym.
Yeah.
Okay, which one of our experiences made you love me the most? Gas me.
What one of our experiences? Okay. Do you have an answer in your head of what you think I'm going to say?
Yes.
Okay. This is not going to be the answer in your head. I'm like 99.9% recurrent. So there was a time when I came to your house. Why did I come to your house?
This is already not the answer I had in my head.
Yeah, it's not. I came to your house and I stayed over and Kemi was there. And yes. It was actually the day that I accidentally got too high when I had a weed sweet thing. Yeah.
Yeah,
a gummy. But I remember being at your house. I think it's the same day, and I'm not merging 2 days together, so you don't get high, kids. But yeah, I think it was that day. But at the time I was at your house, and I remember being in your room and you was downstairs, and I think I was just sleeping or like just chilling. And I remember thinking like, this just feels like home.
Aww.
That's what I thought. I literally thought, like, this literally feels like home. So good. I feel like, what was the question again?
What was the experience that made you love me the most?
Yeah. So I feel like there's very rare moments where I feel like something feels like home. It reinforced the idea that I'm safe here. Like, not necessarily, like, the space, but, like, within our friendship, I'm safe. Yeah. Like, I just feel secure here. Like, I feel good. And obviously in other episodes, I've spoken about, like, one of the things I love about our friendship is how, like, secure I feel within it. But yeah, I think, yeah, that day, I can't remember what we did, but I was at your house, clearly not leaving. I think I was there a few days.
We literally did nothing. We cooked dinner. You were there for the weekend. Yeah. Watched movies. Yeah.
Yeah. But that's probably the one for me.
It's a lovely answer. I'll take that.
What were you going to say?
I'm not going to tell you because it might come up in another moment and another question on another dig deep.
Wow. What's the most ridiculous thing you've seen me do? No, I already know. I actually know the answer to this.
I don't know if this is the most ridiculous thing I've ever seen you do, And I'm going to only use an example of where I've physically been present rather than just on the phone with you.
I literally know what we're going to say.
It's the barbecue.
Oh, it's not?
No, no.
What? I say no, I'm not the best guy.
That is so, oh my gosh. That is hilarious. Actually, that is true. But it's not the most ridiculous thing because I can see how it might have made sense in your head when you were drunk. I'll tell the two stories now.
So, thank you.
I had a going away barbecue right before I moved to Jamaica the first time during COVID.
So this is Leanne telling the story that I thought she was going to say.
Yeah.
But it's not.
And Shan got extremely drunk. And Leanne, Ailey and I were like, where is Shan? And we spent like almost an hour looking for her in the parking lot, called her phone, asked other people, like, and we had, I lived in like a fairly big complex or compound, maybe you could call it. So it's quite a big space, like walk to the Tesco's. Did she go to Tesco? Wasn't there. Maybe 3 hours later, we found her in her car, sleeping and waiting on the guy she was seeing at the time to come and get her. Why she didn't just tell us where she was going, I'm not sure.
No, did we not have a conversation about this? No, let me tell you the story from my perspective. See, we haven't had a debrief. We haven't had a debrief and it's been 3 years. What happened was, I was at your house and I got drunk, okay?
Yes.
Now, I rarely ever get, like, proper drunk. And whenever I get drunk or I realise I'm going to get drunk, I have this innate need to make myself feel safe.
Yeah.
So that might be, like, if I go into my car and locking myself in the car. So that's what I did on that day. I literally went and locked myself in the car. Then my ex or boyfriend at the time, he was calling me and he's like, where are you? Because it sounds quiet. And I'm like, I don't know. I don't know where I am. And he's like, what is going on? And I'm like, I don't know. Do you not remember he had DM'd you saying like, where's Rashan?
Oh, she can't find you. Yeah.
So he's like, what's going on? What's going on? And he's just like, send me your location. So I sent him the location. So that's why by the time you got there, I then said, oh, he's on his way. But I was so phased, like, what the hell is going on here? Yeah, I had no idea where I was. All along, I was basically, if you're listening, you put your hand in an L shape, yeah? Where the long part of your finger was, that was where my car was parked. And where the tip of your nail is, that is where Leanne lived. I was so close to her house, but I was just sleeping in the car and had no recollection of where I was. So he literally came. I remember his cab that day was like £100.
Yeah,
and he was like, you made me travel and pay £100 in a cab to get to you. Just for you to be sleeping outside your friend's house. And then in the end, we ended up going into yours anyway. But yeah, that was what happened. I had no awareness. I was drunk.
So funny. So the story that I was going to tell is we went out one night. Shan drove. I think she was one of the two people that drove. So she parked at my house, or maybe you dropped it back. Can't remember. No, I think we all drove in one car, but we came back to my house where you were parked. And then you decided that you were going to go down an area that you weren't allowed to drive in to park in front of the McDonald's so that we could get food. And you were like, don't worry about it. People do this all the time.
No, you're telling the story wrong. Leanne's a liar. Leanne is a liar. So let me tell you guys what happened. Myself, Leanne, and Nkechi went to, I think, DLT. Yeah.
Right. Yeah. Oh, yes. It was my birthday. Yeah. Yes.
And I drove to DLT and Leanne drove in a different car.
You did.
I then said I'm going to follow them back home because I think I was staying at Leanne's. Leanne, your car was leading with Nkechi and Nkechi drove down the road and she said, you said, yeah. And between you guys said, you can park here. You can come here. Not me. I don't know your silly area. And they made me follow them, okay, park, and guess who got the ticket? Me. I got it. Not Nkechi, me. So how dare you want to tell the story as if it was my idea when I'm in an area, I don't know. It was you and Nkechi. Gave me a ticket.
I'm sorry.
It's okay. You're still waiting to be billed. When I next see you both, you'll be giving me the money back.
Oh,
imagine
my goodness.
You're trying to blame it on
I
me.
I don't remember that.
You wasn't the you was drinking on that day. It was your birthday. Oh, yeah, us two were driving.
Sure,
but no.
Yeah.
Guys, see how Leanne was gonna come tell lies on me. She's gonna lie on B's daughter. Leanne wanted me to get a ticket, guys.
I didn't. And I don't know how you managed to get a ticket and Ketchy didn't.
And Ketchy didn't. I was so vexed. Not to wish tickets on people, yeah, or like that. But I was really like, did you get a ticket? And she was like, no. So why did I get it? Rude.
Actually hilarious. Okay. What do you think makes me happy?
What makes Leanne happy? Well, music's an obvious one. You said that. Actually, I think I know this. So being of service to others, being in water, being with your friends and family, your close ones, and listening to music. Those are, I think, like the four core things.
That's actually pretty accurate, yeah? Music, being in service, being around close friends and family, and spending time alone. Conversely, like, you know, I like to spend time alone as well. So, and the beach makes me happy.
Well, I said the water.
Yes, you did. Yeah. No, I'm agreeing with
swimming pool.
I actually hate swimming pools for the record.
Same.
Like, yeah.
To get Baruka the Bazooka, absolutely not.
Yeah, it's very strange. Very strange. Yes, so, yes, ma'am. Yeah, that actually covers all the bases about what makes me happy. And folks, if it's Friday and you're listening to this, or if it's Thursday and you're listening to this, because we come out every Thursday, do something that makes you happy. Whatever it is, go to the beach, read a good book, take a nap, call a friend, call an enemy.
Thank you so much for listening to the Unapologetically Black podcast, brought to you by the Dope Black Woman CIC.
If you like this episode, please tweet us, DM us, or even message us at Dope Black Woman across all socials.
Unapologetically Black.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And is all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.